Welcome to the Sports and Shit Podcast presented by Anchor. Your hosts each week are Maddie.
But it burned. For me and her, it burned. There was a burning.
And the multi-talented Smitty.
There's worse ways to go than eating grilled cheese every day and having sex every day.
If you like sports sprinkled in with a little bit of shit, then this podcast is for you. Now, here are your hosts, Maddie and Smitty.
Sparks fly from a fingertips. Echoed voices in the night. She's a restless spirit on an endless flight. Ooh, witchy woman.
Welcome to the Sports and Shit Podcast, presented by Lops Brewing and also Anchor through the Anchor app. It is season 2, episode 17. I am Maddie, and my co-host is Mr. Irrelevant himself, Smitty.
Thank you.
You know, the NFL draft, Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick on the draft.
Last pick.
That's you.
So I'm not a first-round talent. That's what you're saying?
No. You slid down the board, like all the way down the board.
Was it off-the-field issues?
You have some off-the-field
issues.
Was it
anger issues? they've seen me yell at someone in the drive-thru too many times, and they're like, this guy, we just can't pick him that highly. He's just a menace. He's a menace to society. So if we're going to take a chance on him, it's got to be late.
And your weaknesses, when they went over your weaknesses, it was size, strength, and road rage.
and speed. size, strength, and speed.
Oh. Other than that,
he's short. With small arms, small hands, no athleticism, can't jump, can't run, has bad knees, bad shoulders, a bad back.
Yeah.
Other than that, he's pretty good.
You are definitely bad hips guy. That's you.
Yeah, what is it?
Like stiff hips.
Stiff hips. Yes.
Yeah. Your hips are stiff.
My hips are stiff.
Yeah.
Not the only thing.
Only when you're extra excited. Yeah. So the NFL draft was tonight, and the Patriots selected Mac Jones.
Mac Jones, 15th overall. They did not move.
Boy, did they run up to the podium with that thing.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, the Jets moved into 14 and picked a guard.
Right.
And then about 20 seconds later, the Patriots pick was in. So they were eager to get that that selection done. And hopefully, Mac Jones is their quarterback for many, many years.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's good. Hopefully he's good. I mean, there's some mixed reviews on him, but hopefully he's very good, and we don't have to watch Cam Newton much farther than this year.
The part of me that likes the pick, and I do like it because they took a quarterback, and they needed a quarterback. They needed to build around someone. It couldn't be Newton. As much as, you know, I like all his intangibles and what he brings to the table, he's just not a very good passer of the football, and it is a passing league. All the things that I've heard about Jones that I like, he makes decisions quickly, he has a quick release, and he's accurate, you know, gets the ball out quick. He's more athletic than people give him credit for. So get rid of the ball quickly, the accuracy and the decision-making, you know, those are all things that the Patriots value highly, and that's what you need to succeed in their offense. So I think if he can do those things, you know, it remains to be seen, but if he can do those things, I think he'll be a good quarterback for them.
I hope he is. You know, you never know. I mean, it's a crapshoot, obviously.
It is. It is.
And he's the fifth quarterback to go off the board. And typically, only a couple of quarterbacks are any good in a particular draft. So to have five good quarterbacks in a draft is probably impossible and not going to happen. I just hope that Mac Jones is one of them. One of the two or three.
Right. I mean, if you look at the 83 draft, Marino was the last quarterback to go off the board in the first round. So, right. You know, that's kind of what you're hoping for. I mean, Todd Blackledge went seventh. Tony Eason went before him.
And Ken O'Brien yeah.
went before him. So, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what you hope. Jaguars to take Lawrence, and then hopefully there's some scrubs in the middle, and then you get, you know, a diamond kind of later in the draft.
Right. And we'll talk to Chad Finn of the Boston Globe is back with us this week, and he did mention that Zach Wilson he thought was the bust of the draft. And I kind of agree with him. I think he'll be a bust for the New York Jets. And I'm not sold on Trey Lance.
I'm not either.
But I think Fields might be pretty good, and I think obviously Lawrence will be pretty good. So hopefully Jones is the third of that group that's pretty good for a long time. So we have Chad Finn and also Jeff Dooley, our good buddy from the Hartford Yargoats, is back talking minor league baseball as well, and that'll be later on in the program. But right now, it is time for Smitty's favorite segment, the news, because he loves his weird news stories.
I do like the weird news stories. It's much better than the regular. The regular news is depressing.
It really is. I mean, it's depressing. I mean, it's really
It's like
bad.
Stabbings and car fires and, you know, earthquakes shootings.
And then
they try to throw in like, oh, a dog was found at the mall and can juggle, like at the very end, you know.
It's always at the very end.
Yeah, to try to bring people's spirits back up because you've been killing them for 29 of the 30 minutes of the fucking broadcast. And it's like, hey, look, it's a puppy. Everyone smile.
Right.
You've just commented about 20 killings and houses getting burned down and natural disasters for, you know, for the entire program. Right. And then it's, look, it's a fluffy dog.
Right. And then you're on the couch with like heroin needles in your arm. Like, please make it stop.
Make it stop.
I mean, my gosh.
Make it all stop.
All right. The news is brought to you by Lops Brewing, a brewery and tasting room in downtown Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Specializing in small batch ales and lagers, open 7 days a week. Live music every Sunday at 2 p.m. Use coupon code SPORTS to get 10% off your online order. Visit www.lopsbrewing.com and follow at Lops Brewing for new beers and events. And I hear they have a very handsome bartender as well. So here is the news.
You know what else they have is, and I was down there and I tried it, is the new First Pitch Ale is excellent.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You tried it?
I did.
Oh, good.
It's excellent.
Is it really?
You're going to enjoy it. When we head back down, you're going to enjoy the fuck out of
it. It does have some citra. Is that what it is?
You're going to, I'm telling you, you're going to, really? You're going to enjoy the fuck out of
that
one.
I'm going to have some of that.
Yeah. That's going to be a good one for you.
All right. First item. A woman recently found out she was a wanted felon for not returning a rented VHS tape for 21 years. 21 years. She had this Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I was going to ask you what the video was.
Yeah, Sabrina the Teenage, and they showed a picture of it. It's literally those old school, almost like those blank tapes that have someone wrote Sabrina the Teenage Witch on it, like it was a copy. Like it's the old school.
So she copied it off the TV.
She must have. But she has no recollection and has never watched Sabrina the Teenage Witch. She thinks an old boyfriend had his kids and at the time rented it, didn't return it under her name.
Wow.
So now this in Norman, Oklahoma, I think, she is a wanted felon. So she had it wiped out, but in order to get it off her record, she has to go through some channels or something to get it off a record. Can you imagine?
What's the past dues on that?
Oh my God, 21 years. But those this is why those video stores are out of business, right? And people just holding their VHSs hostage.
Where'd you used to rent from?
Chorus Line Video over on Main Street, down Main Street, heading into, what is it, Lincoln or down 117, or going toward 117.
That was Chorus Line?
Chorus Line Video is down there. If you were down Bear Hill Road, took a right onto Maine.
Yeah.
That's down there. Chorus Line Video we used to.
So I was going to say Chorus Line, but it must not be the name of the place that I went to. Because that was not, I mean, I went there occasionally. I went there actually to rent video games. I used to rent old Nintendo games from there. But there was a place off of Main Street going toward River Street. And it was in the basement of a house, I guess.
Oh, really? And Tony Nonek was down there with somebody else?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But, yeah, that's where we used to go. I honestly thought it was Chorus Line Video because I was going to say when you said wherever you rented from, I was going to say, yeah, Chorus Line Video. But I was going to say, like, this place off at River Street.
I guess this was rented, this VHS tape, was rented in 2000. The business closed in 2008, so 13 years ago. So she's been a felon now for 21 years from a place that closed 13 years ago. You know what? Here's what I think. I think this should be a common sense police. You know, seriously.
once the business closes, like, shouldn't she not be in trouble anymore? But
yeah, because what are you going to return it to?
Yeah.
Like, why exactly. Why would you need to return
Where
it?
Where would you bring that back? Would you drop it on the front steps
right.
of a closed I mean, place?
Bring it over to City Hall and they, like, confiscate it?
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing with it?
I just think the whole thing is outrageous to begin with. I mean, if you have a VHS tape for too long, send them the bill. If it's whatever, $25 or whatever, it's overpriced. You send them the bill. And then it'll pay whatever. Then you send it to collections. And if it just sits in collections or whatever, like, why is she becoming a felon? It's whatever. Like, I don't get it. It seems to be a colossal waste of time.
With a VHS tape anyways, like, shouldn't you just be able to, like, buy it? Can't that just be yours after it's up? Yeah, right. Like, the whatever. Like, the past due fees
right.
add up to $19.99. And right. then it's yours.
Then it's yours. Like, now it's yours.
I mean, it's worthless.
Right.
It's a VHS tape. Right.
it's worthless now.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to watch? Sabrina's Teenage Witch on a... You can get that on Hulu or somewhere.
I'm sure you could.
My God. So in 1961, Italian artist Piero Manzoni defecated into 90 tin cans, each containing 30 grams of feces. A single can is worth about $300,000 today.
What?
Can of shit is worth $300,000 if you have it from this Italian artist, Piero Manzoni. Let me ask you this. If you're a human and you shit into a can in 1961, 60 years later, is the shit white like dog shit? Like, you know when dog shit gets old? Does it get white and hard? Because I don't know what happens to your shit. The smell must go away. I don't know.
I can't even talk. This is just ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous.
It is. It is.
Why can't you or I shit in a can and charge somebody $100? I don't need $800,000. What is it? $300,000?
Right. Find me Dunkin' Donuts. I'll shit in a can. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
$90.
I mean, each of these cans. So that's.
I mean, that's a missed opportunity, right? Like, if you're like,
play the music, hit the music.
You know, like if you're, you know, 5 years old in 1977, you're like, right. I just shit in a can, like, and kept it. You can keep it for a while.
To go to the pawn shop.
Yeah, then you just throw it on eBay, like. Yeah. So any of you people out there, you have some youngsters, save some of that dirty shit diaper, throw it in a can. And hopefully they become famous one day. You'll be able to charge a little bit of money.
Yeah, I feel that they maybe
pay for college.
If I had any type of artistic talent, I'd shit in a can early, put it away. Because if I create some masterpiece, then I'm going to have my own shit and I'm going to be able to sell it. 90 cans with 30 grams per can, 2,700 grams of feces. It's quite a bit. Do they have the Taco Bell? What do they have? I mean, they have the...
Maybe they just... I mean, when was this? 1961?
61.
Maybe he didn't have a bathroom and he was just shitting in cans because he didn't have a bathroom.
Maybe. You know what? He might have been down in his luck.
And he was just like... Yeah, he was probably a struggling artist at that point, right?
Right.
And then he saved it.
And then he created a masterpiece and there it is. I have my shit in a can. Oh, imagine, do you have this revelation after you hit it big with one of your art pieces and you're like, wow. And you're like, wait a minute. I shit in a can a while ago. I have this shit in the can. So Patriots Nation, we are season ticket holders in the New England Patriots. Lost a legend recently, Frank Sandler. Second longest tenured season ticket holder and Gillette Stadium favorite passed away recently. Frank was the second longest tenured season ticket holder for the New England Patriots.
So we move up. We move up.
We moved up. We've moved up a smidge.
Yep.
He was in section 134, which is a much better seat than we have.
He's right down below us.
Right. So we're 336. Much. So he's pretty much right down below us, two sections. Yeah. Frank's story goes back to the days of the Boston Patriots playing at Nickerson Field in BU at 1960 and 1961. He attended every one of the fledgling team's AFL matchups. Follow the team when they upgraded to games at Harvard and at Fenway. Wow, when they relocated to Foxborough in 1971, Frank was there to follow. Amazing. So he passed away recently. We are the Sportsmanship Podcast with Maddie and Smitty. We'll be at Gillette Stadium, potentially Thanksgiving night, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at New England Patriots. Tom Brady returning. Might be Tom Brady versus Mac Jones.
Could very well be.
Wouldn't that be something?
It would be something.
Absolutely. So we will be there that night. We're looking forward to that big time.
Here's some other town news that you'd like to know. We used to go to a little place called Waxy O'Connor. That was our pre-game drinking establishment. It closed. So now that is Conrad's, which is a steakhouse, steak place.
Right.
Have phenomenal steak tips. But they are opening a beer garden.
Oh, no.
Behind Conrad's on Memorial Day that will be open through October.
Oh, really? So that means we'll be at the beer garden.
We'll be at the beer garden.
Through October.
Through October.
And I'm telling you, we should go when they're on the road, we should just go over there. You know, we'll pregame, during game, post game, during a road game, we'll just go over there.
I'm, you know what I mean? Perfectly fine with that.
But I think pregaming, sometimes, you know, when you go to a Patriots game, sometimes the pregaming is so much fun. You're so in a zone and when the beer's flowing and you're having a good old time. Sometimes I really don't really want to go into the game.
When you've been to as many games as we've been to, there's some days, especially when it's early season, when it's nice weather, you know, a great fall day hits you perfect. It's sunny. It's, you know, high 50s, low 60s, little wind, sweatshirt, but shorts weather. I mean, that's fucking sensational. Sit out there all day long and have the slutty pumpkins.
Oh, perfect. That's what I live for right there. Absolutely. Hey, do you know that people who speak in a lower pitch are more likely to be promiscuous? That means wanting the sex, having the sex, being all about the sex.
The people that talk.
The Barry White.
At a much lower level.
Right. So you think James Earl Jones has been like, I mean, he's a bore.
Yeah. I mean, he's right? Just.
Barry White and James
Earl
Jones.
Out there fucking like a bunny.
We just James Earl Jones fucking like a bunny. Yeah. So that's a new revelation. Is that people who speak in a lower pitch? Do you think I should just lower my pitch a little?
I could speak in a very low pitch most of the time if I wanted to.
You can get into that radio voice. Maybe I should try it. I don't think you have to have a lower pitch to promiscuous.
I should do like the movie trailers. The movie trailer voice guy, like movie phone guy, like
I really
action
wondered,
movies, like I Die Hard.
I really wondered what would happen when that guy passes away or retires. Like who would be the new guy?
Me.
Smitty in a world. You know that guy?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So a man admits to blowing off explosives at a New Hampshire reveal party. Gender reveal parties, we've talked about this before, are a little bit outrageous and out of hand. And people will die if people don't get their shit together. This guy set off 80 pounds of dynamite explosives at a New Hampshire gender reveal party that created explosions that were heard like across towns.
Live free or die.
You know what? Live free or die. But yet, I heard the other day that something about masks, that they're going to not allow people to not take their masks or not lift the regulations or something.
In New Hampshire?
Yeah, that just didn't make any sense. Like, it's a live free or die state. What are you doing? But evidently, at a gender reveal party, you can blow
shit up. So in New Hampshire, basically, you have to wear your mask as you ride your motorcycle helmetless.
Right. Right.
150 miles an hour down the highway. As long as you have your mask on, though, you'll be good.
Yeah, if you have your mask on, you won't have a helmet. But if you have a mask on,
that's
fine. At least it'll brace the fall when your face, careens off the pavement and, six layers of skin slide off your
face. You won't get road rash on your mouth area.
Well, that's good.
Your brain will be spewed all over the highway.
That's good. That's
and
good.
Road rash all over the rest of your body. Right. But your mouth...
We'll be fine. So the wake will be good. So they'll be able to see. Like,
open casket.
Open casket.
Oh, but they might need to glue the rest of your head together or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they can do some wonderful things.
the morticians.
Yeah. I mean, it's
the morgue people.
Hey, you never go out of business. Perfect gift for so it's graduation season coming up soon as folks graduate from another difficult school year. Perfect gift for the ranch obsessed grad. Customize your own Hidden Valley Ranch bottle for your special graduation occasion. Graduation never tasted this good. You can have your name in cursive on a bottle of Hidden Valley Ranch dressing. Yes, you could put Smitty right across the front of that.
I refuse.
Congratulations,
so,
Smitty.
So, no, that would be all you. That would be a congratulations.
You don't like the ranch?
I hate the ranch.
See, I like the ranch. I am a ranch guy.
Yeah, we had this argument already.
You like the blue cheese.
I think it was Super Bowl Live.
That's right. We had the ranch. That's right.
We had the debate, and, you know, I won.
I don't know if you won, but I do not like the blue cheese. I just, you know, but I'm allergic to penicillin. So, well, isn't that mold? Like, isn't blue cheese typically mold? Penicillin comes from...
Yeah, I guess.
Mold.
Sure.
Right? So That's why I don't like it.
That's your rationalization for it?
I don't like it.
No, that's fine. Not everybody has to like everything.
No.
And because you like ranch and I like the blue cheese, it's easy when we go out for chicken wings.
It really is.
To be able to tell the difference.
Yeah. I get the ranch, you got the lumpy fucking blue cheese.
Yeah. Why don't you put your name on the fucking little sauce package that you get? Maddie's Hidden Valley Ranch.
I'll tell you what.
Congratulations. You are eating ranch.
I'm getting the bottle. I'm not getting one of those fucking packets I can't get the shit out of. I'm not doing that. Drug dealer arrested recently after claiming to be Conor McGregor while selling drugs. Looks exactly like Conor McGregor. It's pretty uncanny, but he was arrested.
So he's a wee Irish lad?
He's a wee Irish lad. And Conor McGregor is going to be fighting Jake Paul. No, Floyd Mayweather to be fighting that Jake Paul guy that knocked the guy out the other day. You know, Floyd Mayweather was not losing that fight.
I hope Floyd Mayweather beats the bag out of Jake Paul.
I do too. Now, Floyd Mayweather as a whole historically is a little bit of a dancer, a little bit of a
I hope not, he not dances circles guy. Around that clown and then knocks him the fuck out. Yeah, that's what I hope.
This Jake Paul guy needs
Shut
to stop.
Up.
Yeah, he needs to stop. I mean, cut the crap. You know, I really want boxing to come back. I can't stand this crap. I want like legit heavyweight boxing back.
I'm with you.
The NHL's new broadcast partner put up a graphic that mixed up Connor McDavid with Andy Ferentz, which is impossible. Andrew Ferentz is nothing like Connor McDavid. NHL back on ESPN. We talked to John Butchergrass last week.
We did.
About ESPN. And now Turner Sports is going to be the secondary. So TNT, TBS and such will have NBA and NHL. It'll be interesting.
Maybe that will bring some personality and some liveliness to the studio shows.
Right.
Because the TNT studio shows for NBA is excellent. Yeah. Like I don't really like NBA basketball.
I don't either, but I watch the entertainment.
But I will watch Kenny Smith and Charles and Shaq and Ernie on the TNT shows because they're excellent. They have fun, but they honestly critique, they argue with each other. You know, they're all knowledgeable, they all make good points. So you know, maybe they can find that same, you know, mix for hockey. And it will help grow the sport.
It would be nice to find a couple of personalities. Typically, the NHL tones that stuff down.
Yeah, they don't want people to say outlandish things. I mean, the two guys that said outlandish stuff got fired. Milbury and Roenick. Roenick was for a different reason. But they were still kind of, you know, a little bit more out there. They need personality.
They do.
I mean, same as baseball, like all sports, you need the personalities.
You do.
That's what sells.
Yeah,
the sport.
It's television. It's entertainment. It's,
right.
But having like NHL, having like Patrick Sharp and Anson Carter, like snooze fest.
It is. Like they don't really say anything. Like they're nice guys.
Yeah.
They're both great guys.
And they're
I mean, and you know, Patrick Sharp, I mean, Jesus, he's a handsome fucking dude.
He's wicked handsome.
Catherine Tappan is gorgeous.
She is.
And you know, Anson Carter, you know,
good looking dude. Yeah, nice man. But Christ, I'm not entertained.
Yeah, but it's a little bit vanilla.
It is a little bit vanilla. So I'm with you on that. Hopefully they have a nice, a good studio group that can, that can entertain. Today in Australia is terrifying. An Australian suburb has been invaded by thousands upon thousands of cockatoos. In this picture, there's cockatoos everywhere. Not a cock or two. Thousands of cockatoos.
Well, thousands wouldn't be a cock or two.
It's not a cock or two.
That would be thousands of cocks.
Right.
Right. Or two.
Or two.
Or 2,000 clocks.
2,000. But this is thousands of cockatoos sporadically. You know, there's nothing worse than just sporadic cockatoos.
Sporadic cocks.
Sporadic cocks.
That's what she said.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
I mean, is the cockatoo, is that the swearing parrot? Is that the same family?
Is it? Cockatoo?
I don't know the first fucking thing about what? Animals.
Cockatoo? I don't either. And we have a zoo. We have no idea what animals do. But I don't know. A cockatoo isn't like a flamingo kind of thing? It's not like a bird?
It is a bird.
Okay, well, that's like a fucking big
flamingo. A flamingo is pink and stands on one leg.
Okay, so what does a cockatoo do? Stand on its third leg? Like, I don't know.
No, I think it's, that's what I'm saying. I think it's like a parrot.
It's a parrot?
I think
and
so.
It'll just chirp you?
Well, that's the part that I don't know. That's the part that I was asking about. Does it talk like a parrot talks?
So, like, if you were a bird, you wouldn't be a parrot. You'd be a cockatoo because you're angry, right? Is that well, what we're saying?
No, I don't. No,
you're an angry parrot.
I'm definitely an angry parrot,
right?
Because I want to tell people to fuck off,
right?
That's the type of
fuck off.
Yeah, that's the type of stuff I like to do. But I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
I have no idea what a cockatoo is. In fact, if you said to me, "What's a cockatoo?" I would be.
Well, you thought it was a you wouldn't know because you thought thought it was a fucking flamingo.
I did. And if you said what's a cockatoo, I'd be like a penis. I don't know. It's a cock or two. I don't know. So people who are into kinky sex with cockatoos, they are more likely to do illicit drugs. So people who are into kinky sex.
What if you have a deep voice?
Right. You're promiscuous.
And you are into
kinky. Wow.
Then what?
Well, then you're a criminal. Then you're in jail.
Then you prison. You're just an explosion of ejaculate.
Yeah, ejaculate. You're a fountain of ejaculate. I don't know.
A geyser of ejaculate.
A geyser. Kinky sex. See, I think this is flipped. Because people who are into kinky sex are more likely to do illicit drugs. I think that people who do illicit drugs are more likely to be in the kinky sex. I think it should be flipped, right? Because if you're doing illicit drugs, your limitations, you
don't really have them.
Your inhibitions,
are gone.
You don't have them. So you might be into a little bit more of the cockatoo, right? I mean, they're all over the streets in Australia. You have the pick of the litter, so to speak. What is a family of cockatoos?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I knew it.
Is it not a school of cockatoos? Is it a brothel of cockatoos? That'd be awesome. Should be. Can we change it?
A gaggle.
No, a gaggle? Oh, that'd be even better. A gaggle of cockatoos. Yeah, that's impressive.
Or a bag.
A bag. A bag of cockatoos.
Yeah, like a bag
like
of dicks.
Like a bag of dicks. Right. I'm going to start using that instead. Instead of the bag of dicks thing, I'm going to start saying a bag of cockatoos.
Bag of cockatoos.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
That's a cockatoo piece.
That's a cockatoo piece. Yeah, like a douche piece.
Yeah.
All right. The news brought to you by Lops Brewing. We were going to come back. We're going to have Jeff Dooley, Hartford Yard Goats, play-by-play guy, dear friend. And Chad Finn rejoins us from the Boston Globe. And we will have both of those fine gentlemen right after this timeout. We are joined again. Return guest, our very first guest ever, has returned after a long hiatus.
Must not have hated us that bad.
No, he didn't. I mean, he bided his time, but here he is. He is Jeff Dooley, the voice of the Hartford Yard Goats. My buddy Dooles, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm honored. Guest number one, and to call me back. Most people, when I do an interview, they never call me back.
So this is
the first time.
Oh, that's great. We're glad to have you back. And minor league baseball is coming back. Season opens May 4th. Must seem like forever since there was minor league baseball.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. Like, and I'm just so curious to see. I mean, obviously, it'll look a little bit different, you know. Here in Connecticut, we'll be just 50% capacity through seven games, but the COVID numbers are really good, and they've done a great job in the Nutmeg State. So actually, after the first week, starting on the 11th, we'll actually go, on the 20th, we're actually going to go 100% capacity. So just the first seven games of the year, will be at 50%. So fans will have to wear masks and obviously take precautions and things like that. But I'm curious to see how that will be. And it'll just be so awesome to see fans in the ballpark again and to have the crowd noise and things like that. But secondly, the major league teams, they lost a whole season of development. So every team trying to arrange, okay, if a kid was in low A, do we move him to high A, even though we missed last season? The guys that are in double A, do we repeat some guys? Do some guys go to triple A? So we're still trying to figure out the pieces with our roster right now. They're going to finish spring training in 2 days. So they're probably 95-97% close to the roster. So it'll be interesting to see how everything pans out this year.
So with the schedule different due to the COVID, you know, there's 6-game series, you know, that's probably going to be an adjustment for the teams also, right?
Yeah, for sure. We're going to just like you said, there'll be a 6-game series. So I think for fans, it's cool because sometimes you miss a starting pitcher and now you get to see, you know, all 5 starters in someone's rotation. So, you know, for fans in Connecticut that like the Red Sox, Yankees, and Portland comes in, or the new team in the league this year, the Somerset Patriots, which are now the Yankees affiliate, they'll get a chance to see all 5 starters come through. So I like it. I think that it's really impressive too, that the coaches get a chance to do their reports on all the guys too. So in terms of scouting and things like that, so it serves, I think, multiple benefits to have the 6-game series. And I'm not sure if that's a thing, guys, that's going to stick around for a little bit. I think some of the rules could be here for good.
Right. Well, you know, and as a minor league organization, will it take some recovery time financially? I mean, how is that sort of played out? And you mentioned the full capacity will be great to get back going again, make some money and that sort of thing. But must have taken a real hit for having essentially no season.
Yeah, no question. And at the minor league level, you know, we survive on fannies and seats, and right. And you know, the ticket price is cheap, and you know, the beer and the soda and the popcorn and you know, the hot dogs and all that stuff. I mean, that's our bread and butter. So we don't have these lucrative television deals that the major league teams get. So for us not to have a season was really difficult. And they, you know, we understand why, but you know, the local government in Connecticut has said, we're really leaning on the Yard Goats. You're the state's team to kind of bring us back to the norm, and talking to people at, you know, my kids' games that we can't wait for May 11th for opening day, get out there again and to cheer on the Goats. So hopefully we can do our part in bringing some normalcy back to the folks, and they can come out to the games and, you know, just kind of, especially with everything going on in the world right now, just kind of escape and, you know, have a night out at the ballpark or a day out at the ballpark is just so important.
So how do you feel about some of these rule changes that they're making throughout minor league baseball and especially the extra inning rule that they're doing in the majors now with the runner on second base to start extra innings? What do you think about those rules?
Well, it's funny because we've seen a lot of that stuff. They try it first at the minor league level, and then the stuff that sticks, they go up and they do it in the big leagues. So runner at second base to start the extra inning portion of the game, we've seen that for the last couple of years in minor league baseball. I do like it in minor league baseball. I actually love it. You're not sticking around for 18, 19 innings. Right. And let's be honest, right? Minor league baseball, it's about going, having a good time with your family. They've stuck around for 2.5 hours. Let's give them a winner. Let's give them a winner and get home. Major League Baseball, I was actually shocked that they came up with that, just because so much is, I mean, it's not so much, it's everything. Everything is about wins and losses. Nothing else matters but wins and losses. Where at the minor league level, the wins and losses don't matter certainly nearly as much. It's all about development. So I was a little surprised that they put that rule into effect. I like it at the minor league level, and it's interesting. I haven't watched enough of it yet at the major league level to see, but I know some of the baseball purists are saying, what are we doing? We can't have a guy start at second base to start the 10th inning. A couple of the rule changes in the minor leagues, and we'll see in midsummer how this works out. But so at the double A level, which is obviously our league, and the league the Portland Sea Dogs are in as well, one of the rules is you have to have the defenders in the infield have to have 1 foot on the infield dirt. So you can shift, but you can't now take away a base hit in right field and throw out the guy at first base, which I couldn't stand before. I mean, I just think it takes away from the game. The analytics folks from Major League Baseball told us they'll look at it midseason and they might change the rule to make sure that a defender has to be on either side of second base. So right now that you can still line them the way you want, as long as a foot is on the infield dirt. Now that's just for double A. Triple A, They're trying to make safety measures for the bases, so they're going to extend the bases to 18 inches. So they're going to make the bases a little bit bigger. Or Trout got hurt sliding in. They said it's a bigger base, and it's supposed to be more smooth, I guess. And they're just trying to, you know, obviously protect these guys. So they'll be doing that at the AAA level. And then at the low A level, they're actually doing the computerized strike zone, which I have no idea how that's going to work out. But they are testing stuff, and the stuff that sticks. I mean, I you know, you never thought you'd see a pitch clock or rules about relievers at the major league level. And we're seeing that stuff as we're seeing stuff for this year for the first time. And, you know, last year for the first time in extra innings.
Did you see this play in the majors? Just speaking about umpires, did you see this play in the majors the other day where there was a guy got sawed off? There was like a weak ground ball down the first baseline. The pitcher picks it up. He flips to the first baseman covering. He's kind of in the way, but not really. And the batter was running to the inside part of the baseline.
On the grass.
On the grass.
Right.
And they called interference and they gave him the base. And the guy was literally five or six steps away from the base.
Yeah. Like, I know. I saw that play. And people were like, wait, how can it be an error? There's no error. Well, there is obviously, you have to score as an error in an interference play in a baseball game. But yeah, it was crazy. I mean, you scratch your head with some of these calls, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, that makes me think of, like, if umpires start doing this, we are going to have to go to computerized.
We will, because that's egregious.
We're going to have to go to robots, because that's silly.
Angel Hernandez probably hates the fact that they're going to go computerized, because he can't miss, you know, 15 balls and strikes a game, so that's terrible. Right. That's terrible. I was going to ask you, you mentioned the long games. What do you do during a rain delay? Like, what do you prepare for that type of thing? How I mean, it could be an hour, right? So what do you do?
We do yard goat talk. We take callers.
Do you really?
Nice. No. I'm kidding. No, this is not the major leagues. This is the minor leagues. And quite honestly, we can send it back to regular programming on our affiliate. So I can get off the hook on that, which is really nice. But not too long ago, a couple years ago, we actually did that. And it was fun. You know, we'd get a couple of calls and I'd be texting, hey, call in now.
Right, right, sure.
Give us a question. Right. Hey, Maddie, on three.
Right.
It was fun. Just the problem is you just don't know how long. You know, if it is going to be like a 15 or so minute delay and something's passing, we're going to play like within 20 minutes, I'd rather keep it for the content and not throw it to something else. But if we're going to go into an hour delay, there's no sense in just keeping it and blabbing and talking or playing yard goat rewind for you know, some of the best games in the 5-year history. You know?
Right. Yeah. You know, that reminds me of the St. Joe's College radio days when I was doing a night shift music. And I said, okay, I'm going to do a contest. You know, I'm going to pick caller number 6. And I remember the same person called back 6 times. And I was like, you're a winner. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Yeah.
Call back in 2 minutes.
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, we had our signal was like, it covered like 3 streets in Standish, Maine. But same person. Oh, it was. I mean, we had a blast. All right. So we do this thing we like to call 5 questions with 2 assholes. We're going to ask you 5 random questions. I'm both assholes today. So
awesome.
I'm off the hook. Yeah, I'll be both.
Okay. Great.
All right. So, Jeff, question number 1. What would be your superpower if you could pick one?
Ooh, I would like to fly. Okay. I think it would be pretty cool to fly around.
Yeah, we've had a lot of flyers, a lot of teleports.
I picked flying, but for some reason, you assholes didn't think I could land.
No, I was like, what if you can't land? You're like, why can't I land?
Why can I not? If I can fly, I can probably land.
Every other flying object can land except for yours.
Everybody else was you know, flying around like Superman, and I'm the greatest American hero, crashing into shit.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Crash landing. Here we go.
Yeah. All right, question number 2. Who is your ultimate hall pass? So if you got a hall pass from your wife...
Oh, boy. I don't know on that. I might have to pass on that.
Pass on the pass.
Great. In case she finds this podcast
somewhere. I won't send it to her, I promise. So, okay, now question number 3. What is your dream play-by-play job?
I would say Major League Baseball, broadcasting Major League Baseball. It could be any of the 30 teams, but I would love to do Major League.
Right. Do you have a city that you, I mean, obviously Boston would be great for you, but other than that, do you have a city that you'd like, boy, I'd like to go there?
I love Chicago. I love Chicago, Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Boston, obviously, for the history and everything. LA, I mean, the Angels at ballpark.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And we love Baltimore too.
Yeah, Baltimore. Most of them are pretty good. You can find something good about it. I'd say all 30.
I'll tell you which one I really liked was Pittsburgh. PNC Park was beautiful. I mean, the area around it, but it was the park itself was just sort of picturesque.
Everyone says that. That's one of the most beautiful parks. Yeah, I've never been, I've driven by it. I've never seen a game there, but it's out of this world.
We went to Atlanta before they built this newest one.
I went to Turner Field, the old
one. Turner Field,
And, which seems like it was built like 3 years ago.
I think we went like the second year.
We went like the second year. And the park was beautiful, but the area around it,
it was
like dreadful. It was all like vacant lots.
Yeah, it was just parking lots. You had to like take the transit, you know, the subway to get to whatever.
Like one sports bar and one like motel.
But we were used to Baltimore. Baltimore is everything's great around the harbor. Yeah. It's just a lot of fun.
Well, Chicago too.
Atlanta and Chicago. Yeah, Wrigley was great too. Absolutely.
All right, question number four. If you had a walk-up song, what would it be?
Rock You Like a Hurricane.
There you go.
You can call me the Hurricane.
There you go.
Just because I'm a mess all over the place.
I love it.
There he is, Jeff Dooley.
There he is. About to strike out on three. You're right. This one quick.
Okay, question number five, and we ask everyone this. Who should be the quarterback of the New England Patriots this year?
Josh Fields.
Really? You like Fields, huh?
I think he's a game. I don't know. I mean, I think it would be pretty cool. You know, maybe Cam teach him some of the tricks.
Yeah, I don't really want Cam. I'll be honest. No offense to Cam, but
interesting how they signed him though. I just still couldn't get over the Brady situation. I mean, you know, obviously he means so much to everyone. I think in New England,
right?
And, you know, to leave in the pandemic and obviously do what he did was just unbelievable. I didn't want to believe it. I said I'm turning off all the TV and I'm not going to read any of the stories about this.
I really never thought it would happen. I really did because there were so many different times where you thought like, you know, he'd kind of say something and then they'd work it out. And I just thought Bob Kraft would never let it happen above all else. Like, I just never thought he'd let it happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's like his son, right?
Right. And it's just, I can't believe it. But, and he, of course, to his credit, he went and performed very well. And he probably has another year or two of, you know, pretty good play.
And after the last 10 years.
I know it. And he just, I mean, it's such a freak thing. It's just that no one ever really, and now with Aaron Rodgers, you know, being on the block, you know, at 38, certainly changes. I think he benefits from Brady doing so well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think typically
does.
A 38-year-old wouldn't get any type of trade value, and no matter who he is. And now, you know, they may have to really ship a lot over to Green Bay to get Aaron Rodgers, whoever that is.
So, yeah. I mean, you think that might happen?
You know what? They have Jordan Love, the number one pick from last year or whatever it was, the first round pick, ready to go. I would do it. I mean, I would see what you can get for him. And
it sounds like the 49ers offered them 3 and Garoppolo for Rodgers.
I would do that.
And maybe something else, too.
Yeah.
Might have been some other
draft capital.
Yeah, other draft capital.
Yeah, I would do that. I would take the third pick, and I would either try to deal that to someone who wanted a quarterback, or I would, you know, take the tackle or take whoever really good player there, and then just rebuild your team around Love and let Rodgers go. You know, I would do it. But who knows? I mean, you know, there's a lot of posturing that happens.
Hopefully they're more fun to watch next year than they were last year.
Yeah, and I think they will be. I mean, they'll be more talented. And I think the schedule will be better for them.
Yeah.
So I think Brady comes in.
Pat's Bucks on Thanksgiving night.
It looks like they're talking
about. Now, is that it in Foxborough?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And
we have tickets.
We'll be there.
No, I was going to say, you got to do a report from the game.
I know. We might have the Roadcaster Pro in our lap. You know, just doing a podcast.
A Facebook
from,
Live.
From Section 336. That's where the hell we are. Yeah, Nosebleeds. I don't know if it'll work up there.
Maybe that can be the name of our Patriots podcast.
What is it?
Nosebleeds.
Nosebleeds. You're right.
Love it.
Nosebleeds. Absolutely.
Section
336. Awesome. Well, buddy, you know, always good to talk with you. Thanks for coming on again. And we'll see you in July. We're gonna do the podcast roadshow. You know what? Let's do that. It'll be our first podcast on the road
with our first guest. Yeah,
Jeff Dooley in Hartford this summer.
Dunkin' Donuts Park. Mid July. We'll set you up in a booth. You guys will have some
let's,
fun.
Let's set us up in a booth.
Set us up in a booth.
Fuck yeah, that's
big time. Yeah,
let's go.
We're gonna have our Roadcaster Pro in our pocket.
Yeah,
we're gonna in a little briefcase.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk in and just do a podcast.
When security knocks on the door, just don't mention me.
Yeah, we know Jeff Dooley. Jeff's like, who the hell are these guys? How'd they get in here?
I didn't give any permission for this.
These guys are imposters.
Yeah, I don't know how they got in here at all.
Oh, man.
Oh,
it's
great.
Well, it's good to talk to you, my friend.
All right,
all the best
thanks
this season. And thanks again to Jeff Dooley, Hartford Yard Goats play-by-play guy, minor league baseball starting up May 4th. We're happy to have Jeff back on the program. We're going to go down and see him this summer. We're excited about it, going down to Hartford, seeing that great stadium, taking in a Yard Goats game, playing a little wiffle ball. You like the wiffle ball?
I love the wiffle ball.
Yeah, you do. If that shoulder is okay, we're going to try to win a wiffle ball tournament.
I got double cortisone shots. I'm ready to go.
Oh, my God. He's dedicated.
Yeah.
So thanks again to Jeff. And now we will talk to, from the Boston Globe, Chad Finn. We'll talk some Boston sports with Chad. Here he is. Our guest at this time, a return guest again. From the Boston Globe, Chad Finn joins us again. Hi, Chad. Thanks for being on again.
You bet. Good to be on with you guys.
Awesome. This episode will drop on Sunday just after the draft ends. So we're going to let you be Nostradamus, and you're going to tell us, what did the Patriots do in the first round this year?
Oh, great. Well, it's never exactly what we think. I can't think of too many times where it has been. I know the year they took Mayo, the last time they had a pick this high, it was kind of expected. He wasn't a surprise. Nate Solder wasn't a big surprise. But sometimes they do things that leave people bewildered. And I'd also say that the times where they have the flashier picks hasn't always gone well. True. Lawrence Maroney, people love that pick.
Right, and, right.
You know, he had some moments, more than people realize. He was pretty good in the playoffs on the way to Super Bowl in 07. But that wasn't a good first-round pick. I think probably the draft goes a little bit differently than all of the people with mock drafts. And that's pretty much everybody nowadays. I have readers sending them to me.
Oh, I know.
All the people with mock drafts, you know, think they trade up and take Fields, or they sit there at 15 and maybe DeVonta Smith is there. Or if there's another quarterback they like that slips, they, you know, they go after that guy, maybe trading up into that 8 spot for the Panthers. I'll say my colleague, Jim McBride, is very plugged in with the Patriots. He doesn't have a high profile on social media. You know, he's not one to beg for spots on NFL Network or anything like that, but he's very plugged in, and Belichick trusts him. And Jim has zagged on his draft board. He has them trading down and taking Davis Mills from Stanford as a quarterback. Mm. You can see some of the skill set. It's similar to Mac Jones, except Mills has questions about the health of his knees. That would not be a surprise if he's the quarterback they're targeting. Trading down the first round and taking him might surprise some people. But when Jim wrote that the other day in his mock draft, it just triggered an alarm with me. It made me think that I don't know if he knows anything. I haven't texted him to ask him. But if you go back and look at all the little news stories that break that the national guys don't get, it's Jim, and he's plugged in. And I think there's something to this. I'll probably be wrong, and they'll have Josh Fields on Monday morning doing conference calls. Right. But I think there's a possibility they move down and still get their quarterback. And I, above all of that, I think it's almost certain Jimmy Garoppolo is a quarterback this year. I've thought that all along. It's getting closer and closer. There's absolutely no need to make the trade now, because that only benefits the Niners. You can squeeze the vice on the Niners a little bit, but I think he's back here. And I think he's back here sometime over the next couple months, not necessarily over this weekend.
Yeah, one of those picks that came out of left field was Logan Mankins, and he worked out pretty well for them. So.
Yeah, I mean, it does happen.
I remember two picks in Patriots history that Mel Kiper trashed. Well, not trashed, but disagreed with. He had a third or fourth round grade on Mankins. Mm. Right. The guy made, what, 8 Pro Bowls, second best guard in franchise history. Never got a Super Bowl here, but you know that was kind of a fluke. But he's got a real good shot at the Hall of Fame. And the other one was McCourty, who was a special teams gunner. Everybody thought they were going to take a linebacker, Jerry Hughes, or Sergio Kindle out of Texas, who ended up going to the Ravens and getting hurt. But people were pissed when they took McCourty, because Kiper said he was a versatile defensive back, special teams gunner. And now he's one of three guys who's made all pro as a cornerback in safety in pro football history.
Right.
The two times where Bill has done something that left Mel Kiper stumped, it's worked out really well for the Patriots. So I'm kind of hoping for that tonight. Don't take a guard with the 15th pick after all the anticipation that we've had. Right. But if he takes a player that nobody has pegged for the Patriots, that would be pretty interesting. Mm.
So are you surprised by the switching gears a little bit? Are you surprised by the fast start of the Red Sox? And do you think they can sustain this for the rest of the summer?
Yeah, they're pretty good. I wrote a couple of times for the start of the season they were going to be better than people thought, but people thought they were going to be horrible. It was very clear, I thought, that this was a much better team than what they had last year. Last year's pitching staff, they used 30 pitchers in 60 games. Three of them were position players. I think 11 had ERAs over 5, wow. And maybe it was 7 or 8 with the ERAs over 7.
Oh, my gosh.
It was auditions, and guys didn't belong in the major leagues. I was shocked to look last night and see Zach Godley's pitching for the Brewers. He had no business being in the major leagues last year. No. He may have led the Red Sox in starts last year.
Wow.
Or been one of the top two. So... You know, they had a lot of auditions last year. They didn't find a ton beyond, you know, Phillips Valdez is part of the bullpen. Austin Bryce is on the roster, but didn't find a ton that way with the pitching staff. But, you know, they made the late season trade that was already a win last year. Hembry and Workman were terrible for the Phillies and didn't come back this year.
Yeah.
And Pivetta has been tremendous for the Red Sox since he got here. You know, the pinnacle so far has been beating DeGrom the other night. So they won that trade. And what he's done is he bolstered the roster with quality talent in a bunch of different ways, signing Somura and having him come and be an important piece of the bullpen, getting Garrett Whitlock, Rule 5 from the Yankees, because, you know, Bob the Hammer Hamlin, who was scouting for them at the time, loved him. A lot of different ways to enhance the roster. Some of it will work really well. Some of it is working really well. Some of it might not. You know, Franchi Cordero's really struggled. Renfro's hitting about .160 over the last, since the start of the 2020 season. But this is the way that the Rays built teams when Bloom was there. This is the way Bloom is going to build this team. And it's just they're in a much better spot in terms of quality depth of the organization than they were at any point last year.
You know, I'm a little skeptical. Well, I'm a little concerned about the outfield. And I know that Verdugo is very good, but I don't know. I think they may need someone there. Cordero seems to be lost. You mentioned Renfro. This is a team that was so strong in the outfield for so many years. And now I think they could use an outfielder. I don't know how it works out, how they can add to that, if it's this year or if it's something they target, you know, going down the road. But that's my concern with the team right now is the outfield.
Yeah, I think they're going to be pretty patient with Renfro. They like his power. I saw a stat the other day. He's of players who have played 325 games, the first 325 games of their career, he's 13th all time in home runs. He's got, wow. I think it was 80 in his first 325 games.
Holy smokes.
That's nuts. It's guys like McGuire and DiMaggio and then Hunter Renfro.
in there. Wow.
So they're going to be patient with him, and he's a sneaky good defensive outfielder too. So there's value in that. But you know, he's a guy who hasn't hit for over a full season now for any kind of batting average anyway, or gotten on base at a high clip. Cordero needs to start making contact. Remy was really pointed talking about him during, it was Wednesday night's broadcast, when he struck out on a pitch about a foot above where he swung on the bat, and he said, "It's really easy to pitch to him. Change up low, fastball high. We're having a really hard time hitting both." So there are a couple flaws he's got to fix. And I would bet that maybe even by the time you guys put this out, he might be at the alternate site and Danny Santana could be on this roster. But, you know, they can play Hernandez in the outfield. Christian Arroyo and Gonzalez can cover second. They're also working Jaron Duran at the alternate site out in left, working him out in left field. He's not a good outfielder right now. People talk about, "Oh, bring him up, play him in center field because he's killed the ball in spring training." He's not ready for that. But if he can adjust the left field a little bit and at least be able to play confidently in front of the wall, he could be an offensive spark for this team, maybe even sooner rather than later. But Santana's the guy to watch. He's a productive player for a couple of years for the Twins and can play a ton of spots, which they love, obviously, with some of the guys they already have. And, you know, that could mean Franchi's headed to the alternate site pretty soon.
Right. Now, moving on to the Bruins, they make some really big moves. All three of them have panned out really well. What do you think their chances are to make a run to the Cup this year?
Play the Swayman kid from UMaine. They
right.
Should
there you go. I know it. And it makes it, you know, it's interesting, though. I mean, there's been history of young goalies catching fire.
Yeah, you know. It's always the Canadians against the Bruins.
Right, right. That's, yeah. That's
I mean, they're
Steve Penny, Raw.
Yeah, yeah. Steve. They're gonna have a legitimate. I mean, if Tuukka struggles at all, they're gonna have a real. You know, there's gonna be a real question there about what they do heading into the playoffs because Swayman's been so good.
Swayman's good. It's interesting with the pleasant dilemma he's already caused them because Halak's a fine backup, sure. And now he doesn't really have a job.
Right.
And they signed Ladder to a 3-year, $750,000 a year contract last year, and now he's not the goalie of the future. You know, as somebody who went to UMaine, I knew that UMaine was winning the national title last year if they had one with Swayman and Net. So this is no surprise to me whatsoever. But it appears to be a surprise to Bruins fans. But he's legitimately good. He's their future in that position. They don't even have to protect him in the expansion draft either, which is pretty cool. So they're in a really good spot there. And I do. Cassidy's a guy who'll take a chance and kind of a no-nonsense guy. And if Tuukka's struggling, I have no doubt that Swayman would get a look, you know, especially in an early round series where, you know, maybe the Bruins are up 2-1 or something like that, or 3-1, and Tuukka's having a rough go of it. I could see Swayman getting a couple of starts.
So the Celtics have been kind of a up and down, kind of a underachieving, you know, dumpster fire kind of lately. Do you think that Brad Stevens is on the hot seat? I mean, do you think that they should fire him and move on? I mean, I know his contract is like a million years long, so it's probably not going to happen. Yeah. But, you know, has the team tuned him out? It seems like Kendrick Perkins's tweets are doing more good than Brad Stevens is doing, you know, behind the bench or, you know, whatever, on the bench.
Yeah, you know, people get on Brad because of his demeanor and that he doesn't trash his players publicly or, you know, really tear into them during the game, but he does it behind the scenes. He can be pretty cutting in practice and just cut a guy down with a couple of words, and the guy F-bombs all over the place, and you wouldn't think that, but the face he puts on publicly is not the way he coaches that team. The issue of that team is, to me, it's Tatum more than anything else, and I'm not saying that, I'm not one of those people saying, oh, trade him, that would be absolutely idiotic. But he still has growing up to do. The default mode that he has and the default mode that spreads the rest of the team when he plays this way is, we're struggling, I got to shoot. It's up to me to make shots and score points. And he does that. He'll be 3-for-9 in a game, and he tries to shoot his way out of it rather than set things up for Jaylen, who might be on, or Kemba, or, you know, Time Lord, or whoever. And he's got he has moments where he comes out of that, where he passes the ball well and unselfishly, but too often he tries to shoot his way out of everything when he's having a rough night, and it's dribble, 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 crossover, dribble, dribble, holds the ball for 10 seconds, step back three, miss. And it's just demoralizing. And everybody else on that team gets into that mode. And the ball's not moving. It's hard to watch basketball, and he's got those Kobe habits sometimes that he needs to grow out of. Kobe refined them, obviously, and learned how to become a better team player. Beat the Celtics in the championship in 2010, in part because he was willing to pass to meta world peace and let Gasol take over in the low post. I mean, he jacked up a bunch of shots. He had his unselfish moments too. And Tatum still needs to learn that thing. It still spreads across the team. The other thing is, it's a reason. It's not an excuse. They just have never had the whole team together. You can't expect any kind of consistency from them when one night Kemba's there, one night he's not. Time Lord's out for 5 games. Fournier hits 10 straight threes and then doesn't play for 5 games because he has COVID or whatever, you know, whatever the numbers are there. It's just been one thing after another, and they haven't been able to develop any consistency with that. So I'm punting on this season with these guys. I know they seem to think they can flip the switch in the playoffs. That's not going to happen. They've got 10 games left. They haven't played together. They haven't played well together. It's just, I have a hard time believing they're going to do anything of note in the playoffs. And that's part of the problem. You know, I was talking to one of the beat guys, and I was asking him, you know, why do they play selfishly? They're good guys. They want to play team ball. They know how to play team ball. Why do they get in this horrible mode? And he told me, the only guy that really gets pissed when they lose is Smart. The younger guys, Nesmith's like that a little bit. Pritchard seems to be like that. But when they lose, you know, Jaylen and Tatum say the right thing, but it doesn't translate usually. It did the other night, but it doesn't translate usually to how they play on the court. And those guys got to figure out how to make their teammates better and recognize that when things are going off the rails, me shooting more is not the solution. And Marcus obviously falls into that too. The higher the stakes, the more, you know, the harder he tries, and it ends up being completely misguided. So that's an issue too, obviously.
You know, one thing that really bothered me the other night, after Jalen scores, he scored about 39, they lost that OKC game, is that what it was? And he had these critical comments. And then the next night, he scores 38 and they win. And Brad said, you know, I thought some of his comments were overly critical. I thought to myself, this is the one time someone actually spoke up and said something and showed some fire and showed some desire. And then Brad sort of played it down as, boy, he was being a little bit too overly critical of us. And I thought, I think you need more than that, more of that, you know?
Yeah, I think some of that was because, you know, Jalen scored a lot of points, but he also was one of the guys who wasn't getting back on defense after taking the shot and that kind of thing. And Jalen's a great kid. He's really smart. There's so much to like about him, but, you know, he knows how to say the right thing, but it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be doing the right thing. I think he ultimately will be that player. I'd hate to see them move on from Tatum or Jalen, but it's just, there's hiccups with them. You got to deal with guys who are fairly young players who, it's not the first time they've been the front of the team, because they were last year when they ended up in the East Finals in the bubble, but it's the first time they've really had the burden of big expectations. You know, last year people didn't expect them to be very good. They had lost Horford. They lost Kyrie. Feels like 10 years ago, but going into last year, it was like, well, they stunk in the playoffs and got knocked out by the Bucks. Kyrie quit on them. You know, they brought in Kemba, but it felt like that the team was going to take a pretty big step back, and they didn't. And so the weight of expectations a little bit were on Jalen and Tatum this year more than they've ever experienced. They've got to deal with that better.
You know what the answer is, Chad? It's Isaiah Thomas. I mean, that's the answer. I mean, if they get him back.
He can't play anymore, though. That's the thing. I mean, right. I know people want him back, but there's a reason he's not in the league. Somebody told me once, there was a kid named Mo Almond who played on one of the first Red Claws teams, and he was excellent in the G League. It was the D League then. Excellent in the G League. First, he had been a first-round pick of the Jazz, and he washed out of the league pretty fast, but he was a really good kid, clearly belonged in a better league than that one. And I was like, why, you know, he's dropping 20, 25 points a game easily in the G League right now. Why isn't he in the NBA? And a person told me, that it was another writer, said, well, what's his role going to be in the NBA? It's going to be the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th man. The last thing you need from that spot is a scorer.
Right.
You need somebody who can come in and do something else really well. You know, like, I'm not sure Tremont Waters is an NBA player, but he's bailed them out a couple of times recently by coming in and playing pretty good point guard when Marcus has been out or when Kemba's been out. And you need somebody who can fill in a particular role. And Isaiah was a volume scorer. He was very efficient when he was with the Celtics, and in part because they used him really creatively. But he's not that volume guy. He's not a high percentage shooter anymore. He's a much harder time getting into the lane. And you don't need him as a offensive threat, or he can't be the offensive threat that he used to be. What's his value? I mean, he was a guy they had run to the corner on defense so the other team couldn't identify the matchup in the playoffs that year, you know? Right. So it stinks. I wish he was in the league, and I wish he hadn't had that hip injury. The guy was an absolute joy to watch, but he doesn't really have it anymore.
Very true. All right, so it's time for our 5 questions for 2 assholes segment. And your favorite, I know, Chad, and here we go.
I love it.
All right, so question number 1. In your sports writing career, who is your favorite person you've interviewed?
Favorite person? God, it's so long. Well, I'll go back to the beginning, because I know you guys with your roots up here. Covering Sean Walsh was the gift of my career at UMaine, UMaine Hockey, just because he loved to talk. He loved to swear. He told you what he thought was the truth. So he's always super colorful, and he's accessible to me. He was just the, you know, student newspaper writer, but he recognized the value of the fan base on campus. And so that he realized talking to the campus paper was beneficial. But, I remember one time Sports Illustrated done something on the main program, And the writer described him as a snake oil salesman. And I just, you know, like a con artist.
Right.
And I just mentioned it in a column I wrote that he was referred to as a snake oil salesman. He calls me up at the office and he's like, what the F is a snake oil salesman? I was like, you know, I expect him just to explode on me like, you know, con artist, guy tries to pull the wool over people's eyes. And it's like this pause for like 3 seconds. And then he says, all right, well, practice is at 4:30. Took it as a compliment, as it turned out.
That's awesome.
More recently, it'd probably be Eck. Because I covered the media for the Globe, and I did a big profile of him 2 or 3 years ago for the Globe magazine, just talking about all the stuff he's gone through in his life and kind of where he's at now, how he got to this point in his life of happiness. And he's the most authentic person I've ever met, let alone famous person. Just there's no filter. He tells you stuff that he's dealt with and drinking and his wife leaving for a teammate, which led to his trade to the Red Sox from the Indians in 1978. And just all sorts of, he's just an open book. And you don't meet too many people like that in life, let alone people who are, you know, baseball Hall of Famers and, you know, played 24 years in the big leagues. So to me, I feel really lucky to have been able to write about him.
So speaking of Hall of Famers, question number two, is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer in your mind?
I'd vote for him. It's got all those old New York white guy writers in there. The people who say he isn't, they completely ignore why you would have a case.
Sure.
You know, they'd say 107, whatever, I don't even know, 175th receiving yardage and, you know, not anywhere near the all-time leaders in anything. But then you switch to when the games really matter. All right, this guy made one of the most memorable catches in football history with 4 minutes left and the Patriots still trailing in that Falcons right. Super Bowl. Scored the winning touchdown against the Seahawks in what to that point was the biggest fourth quarter comeback in Super Bowl history. That's so underrated that the Patriots came back from 10 down against that Seattle defense to win that game because they've done so many other things. He was a hero in that one. Super Bowl MVP in his last Super Bowl. The touchdown pass to Edelman and then to Amendola against the Ravens was at 2014. So just on and on, he has these iconic plays in NFL history. And then you look and he's behind Jerry Rice and nobody else in every other category in the postseason. If playoff stats don't matter, and I've heard people argue, well, Hall of Fame tends to be in a regular season based honor. That's ridiculous. Lynn Swann's in because he was great in a couple of Super Bowls and had 5,000 yards in his career and, you know, looked really cool doing it. You know, somebody said to me, well, Swann had, they were a run first team and he still had 10 touchdowns, 11 touchdowns every year. And it's like, well, they weren't expecting him to throw then, were they? So he was wide open. But he's gonna have a real chance. I know there are people that adamant he don't belong, but there are also people that actually have a vote who are going to, I know for a fact, will argue on his behalf when the time comes.
Right. All right. Question number three. Who's your favorite musician right now?
Oh, God, right now. I don't listen to a ton of music lately. I've probably been going back to 80s stuff a lot. I watched Terminator 2 with my son last week. So I've been listening to Guns N' Roses a lot lately, which is, basically back to high school. But I was always a big Buffett guy, but I kind of got away from that the last couple of years. I was like Jack Johnson just because it kind of fits my personality. Pretty laid back for the most part. But I'm not in the car as much as I used to be, so I haven't been listening to as much. And I'm one of those people, I know a lot of people that, writers who have music on in the background to set the friggin' mood or whatever. I can't have like any noise when I'm writing. Really? If the cat comes in and starts meowing, they get the Josh Bailey punt out of here. But it's one of the things I missed from my commute to Boston. I haven't been down to the office in over a year is, you know, catching up on new music.
All right. So question number four, what is your favorite curse word?
The F word is the most versatile word in the
American language. I've had a few people say that.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's true. I mean, that's the short answer. There you go. I'm gonna say it because
that's fine.
I never know what our policy is on swearing in podcasts. Yeah.
That's true.
No, real life, it's used often.
Yes, different forms too. All right. So, question number five: who do you think the Patriots quarterback should be this season?
I would have kept the Brady guy, but
right.
That's the cheap answer. I think Garoppolo's the answer. He's not by any means one of the great quarterbacks in the league, but they know what they're getting. I think they know how to utilize him well. He got to a Super Bowl with some pretty helpful circumstances. You know, those Niners had a phenomenal defense. Shanahan's a terrific offensive coach, but still, he got to a Super Bowl. He's capable of doing it, capable of getting there with the Patriots. And I think that is the most reasonable plan. I think it's been the plan all along, and then they will draft the guy who succeeds him. Garoppolo's not as young as people think. We'll still think of him as a young guy because he was here, but he's, what, 29, 30 now. Right. So a little bit in his prime, maybe even a little past his prime. But bring him in, draft a kid, and you're in pretty good shape.
Well, Chad, thanks so much for coming on again. We love having you, and we'll be looking out for that draft coverage from you tonight.
Yeah, I know. I just saw the Jets took the bust kid who's going to bust from BYU.
Yeah, so that looks like bust written all over it, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Breaking news. Yeah. Jets select a quarterback who's a bust.
He's going to be Darnold all over again.
Yeah.
They were so excited when he rolled left and threw right, and then everybody came up with this clip of Darnold doing the same thing. Right. He never got better.
No, he didn't.
Maybe Wilson will, but feels like treading water for those guys.
Yeah. All right, Chad. Thanks so much. Enjoy the draft.
Bye, fellas.
And thanks again to Chad Finn. Always nice to have Chad on. Knows his stuff. Has some great stuff. It's a great follow on Twitter.
He is. He's excellent.
He really is.
And he's a Maina.
He's a Maina. He's a Bath Maine guy. And he's always willing to come on. We appreciate it thoroughly. We love talking to him. It is time. We need to do some trending.
That's when she said she was
trending. A lot of NFL draft stuff happening tonight. So the number one trend on Twitter is your New England Patriots quarterback, Mac Jones, one trend on Twitter.
Mac Jones. You know, I was watching him walk. Kind of a weird gait. You notice that?
I think he was
like an accountant or something.
I think he was in a hurry.
Yeah, he was.
To get to the stage.
He shot out of there.
He was, yeah. If he could have run to the stage, I think he would have. There was some enthusiasm there.
It was.
Which I like.
He was speed walking for sure.
He was. You're a speed walker.
I am. I do the speed walking.
You and Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal's a speed walker?
Yeah, do you see that? And I think I'm almost positive it was When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
He was speed walking with Bruno Kirby as they were talking about
it's funny.
Sally.
Funny that we both do that and we're both similarly talented, Billy and I.
Comedians, a lot of you. So the number two trend is possibly former Green Bay quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, the Jeopardy host?
The Jeopardy host.
Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay. If I was Green Bay, I would do it. I would send him, for as much as I could get, a 38-year-old quarterback who's disgruntled, only won one Super Bowl. You have Jordan Love, who you've drafted in the first round as his successor. I would get whatever you can for him right now and move on.
Yeah, he said he's not going back to Green Bay.
No, so he's not.
Yeah, I mean, there's been reports that San Francisco is interested. He gave his list of teams as he wants to be on the West Coast. So it was the Vegas Raiders. It was the 49ers and Denver. So it'll be interesting to see what the Broncos do. You wonder if that pick at number nine, the cornerback.
It was a Surtain, Patrick Surtain. Because they took him before the Dallas Cowboys.
Right, right.
Which caused them to trade out.
So you wonder if that pick was maybe for the Packers.
Might have been.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Aaron Rodgers before the football season starts, or if he just hangs it up and becomes the next Alex Trebek.
I know this much. You're not going to repair the relationship because if Aaron Rodgers doesn't talk to his own family, he's not going to continue to talk to you.
That's very true.
You know what I mean?
I mean, he's very true.
He has a real jilted relationship with his family. Hates his brother, the whole thing. Doesn't talk to his mother.
He's kind of a prima donna douchebag, it seems like.
He does seem like a douche. He does seem like a real arrogant douche. And I would move on. By the Packers.
I agree with you.
Do it.
So the number three trend is also related to football, and it is the Dallas Cowboys who traded back from the 10th overall selection to use the 12th overall pick to select linebacker Micah Parsons. So they couldn't get one of the top two cornerbacks who they were rumored to be interested in, both of those guys, J.C. Horn and Surtain. So they traded out and got who I think might be one of the gems of the first round in Micah Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
Little off-the-field baggage, but man, is he a stud.
Not as concerned about off-the-field baggage as if, because it's the NFL, there's a lot of off-the-field baggage.
Absolutely true.
But you go back two spots, and you get a third-round pick, and you take a guy, like you said, who's one of the real good players in the draft. I think that was a win for the Cowboys, and typically they screw things up, or they, you know, they're not the most well-run organization. But this was a pretty good move for them. And typically Jerry Jones doesn't really know what he's doing, but that was a pretty good move.
He runs like a running back. He runs in the 4.4s. I mean, he runs like a running back.
He does.
So, I mean,
he's a beast. I mean, he's good.
He's going to be a good player for a long, long time.
No question.
So the number four trend, also football, and it is the New York Football Giants, who traded out of the 11th pick with the Bears, and they got a haul.
They did.
From the Bears.
They ended up trading back to 20 and then got a first-round pick next year out of it, along with a fourth-round pick and something else this year.
So with the 20th selection, they take Kadarius Toney, so they'd still end up getting a weapon
for Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones.
Right.
And they garnered a lot more draft assets. So
they did.
Really a pretty good move for them, because there really wasn't anybody clearly there that was a weapon that you would take at 11. So they move back and pick up a bunch of stuff and still get a pretty good player.
And Chicago gets Justin Fields with 11. And the Giants, like you said, they get 20. They get Toney, who's a very good wide receiver. And then they get the first next year. And the Bears are not going to make the playoffs this year. So that first-round pick is going to be pretty high next year. So that's a really good, I mean, that's a really good move by the Giants. They may have been one of the real, they may win that first round. That was a really good move for the Giants, for sure.
All right, and the final trending, number five. We only do five because it's, you know.
Because I want to go to bed.
Right, yeah. It's an hour show most of the time.
Right.
Is your New England Patriots once again.
Wow.
Patriots, the number five trend. So in what could be one of the most important picks in New England's draft history, the Patriots have used the 15th overall pick on quarterback Mac Jones, a potential long-term successor to Tom Brady.
It definitely has become, you know, you can make a case it's the most important, just because they have to get the next guy, and they don't typically get, you know, I never thought they'd get a quarterback this high in the draft. They do have to get the next guy. There was all that Garoppolo talk, so I really fed into that and thought that they were getting Garoppolo and that they would take a defensive player or trade down and not take the quarterbacks after all that talk. Getting Mac Jones now, you know, now what does San Francisco do? Do they include Garoppolo in a trade for Rodgers, or are they stuck with Jimmy Garoppolo and $25 million? Like, that's a tough one. The Patriots may have screwed the 49ers in this whole thing.
Either they'll be stuck with them, or they're going to get to a point late in the offseason, or, you know, early preseason, where they're going to either say, Jimmy needs to restructure, or we're going to just cut you, and there's not going to be any jobs out there, and you're going to be on the street with no money looking for something. So maybe that'll force Jimmy to play ball with the 49ers and reduce his contract amount.
It may. That probably might be the move for Garoppolo now. You want to save some face.
Plus he'll start there now, I would think.
He'll start there right now. Because they're not going to start Lance. Because of all the quarterbacks out there, I think he's one of the guys who isn't really 100% ready.
He's probably the biggest project.
He probably is.
Of all of them.
He definitely needs a year.
Because he hasn't played any Division I.
He hasn't played any FBS teams.
Right.
And he you mentioned it earlier, like, he hasn't thrown the ball that much. Like, he just doesn't throw the ball that much.
No, his program in college was a run heavy. Team. So he averaged like 22 attempts per game in college.
That's low.
That's very low.
It is.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with this. And hopefully, fingers crossed, Mac Jones is a Patriot for a long time and not, as you know, Brian Hoyer type as a backup.
Yeah. I hope so. I hope he's not, Ryan Mallett or.
Yeah. I mean, some of the people were very high on him. Chris Sims had him as the number two quarterback behind Lawrence, I think. He's very polarizing, I think.
I think he takes a little bit of a hit because of the teammates he has. Like, he has such elite talent. I mean, look at Waddle and Smith.
Right.
Like, both in the top 10 or whatever it was. And it's a really hard thing to really gauge just how good a guy is. Joe Burrow was the same way with LSU. He had tons of talent.
I mean, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah,
I mean,
like, I mean, you have these guys that are just really talented, like the best, most elite talent in the country playing with you. It's hard to gauge, you know, just how good you are. And I think that that's some of the hesitation in him. But we were watching some film. He throws a nice ball. He seems to have a lot of poise. He seems to know what he's doing. You know, he seems to have, a purpose when he plays. There's not a lot of indecision in the film that I saw. They rave about his processing and his, you know, smarts.
Yeah, his ability to process and get rid of the ball quickly, accurately to the right place.
Right.
Sounds like somebody that was here for quite a while.
Yeah, it does. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, obviously he's not going to be Tom Brady, but
no.
At least be a guy who I'm hesitant about the pick, but I like the fact that they're not going with Garoppolo because I just wasn't a big Garoppolo guy. And I was very concerned about his injury prone stuff. I think his stats are deceiving.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been a game manager. They've really, you know, had kid gloves on him.
They have. The 49ers would not let him throw the ball in that Super Bowl.
And they lost it because of that, because he couldn't, because they wouldn't let him throw it, and he probably couldn't throw it. And he's injury prone all the time. And I just wasn't a fan. He's almost 30. He's not that young.
Right.
As Chad Finn said earlier in the interview, he's not that young. So I think you get the young guy here, you know, who's a winner and who comes from a great program, and you try to coach him up and see. And I think the other thing is, because I think, I don't know how long Belichick's gonna coach.
Mm.
So if Josh McDaniels is the next coach, I wonder how much they went with who McDaniels wants.
I mean, it's
so
possible.
That if they transition, he's got his guy that he had a lot of say in getting.
It's possible because there was a lot of talk leading up to this draft that there was going to be a more collaborative thing. So you wonder how much input Josh had and some of the other, you know, scouting, director of scouting, those type of people. You wonder how much more influence they had over this pick and potentially what they do for the rest of the draft.
It's a big situation for McDaniels from a career standpoint.
Absolutely.
Because if he wins with Mac Jones, then he's not just the guy who had Tom Brady.
Right.
So if he wins with Mac Jones, then that legitimizes him as a coach.
Absolutely.
Offensive coach. And then gives him another chance to be a head coach in the league, I think. You know, he might be the guy in line. I don't know what their plan is. I don't even know what Bill Belichick's plan is. He could coach another 4 or 5 years. Who knows?
I think he wants the wins record.
He wants the wins record. So that's 4 years anyway.
Yeah.
You know, if everything goes right, could be 5.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see, but I think I just didn't want Garoppolo, so I'm glad they went aggressive. They've been aggressive all offseason. And Tommy Cameron was right. He said they were going to be uncharacteristically aggressive.
I like the fact they went out and got the guy that they liked. You know, by all accounts now, this was the person they wanted all along and picked the guy that they plan to build around. They went out and got somebody, and now they have a plan at quarterback. So whether it succeeds or not, we'll see. You know, hopefully it does. But they went out and got somebody, and now they have an idea of what they're going to do at quarterback for the future.
You know, it was the only pro day they went to was Mac Jones.
I think that was the only one Belichick went to.
Belichick went to, that's right. They went to Fields, right?
They had scouts at all of, like even Lawrence.
Even Lawrence, right.
But Belichick went to Mac Jones, and he didn't go to any of the other guys. You know, Saban's his buddy too, so who knows?
Sure.
It could have been grab-assing.
Yeah, I mean, he could have just gone just to see Saban and make an appearance there and didn't really give a shit about going to pro days at all, but who knows? So that's that. All right, another episode in the books. We'll see everybody again. Next week, it was a means closer to the 1 year anniversary. Wasn't your podcast?
Next week, we'll probably do some kind of a little draft review.
Yeah, we'll do some draft review. You know, maybe we can get on our buddy Spags, just wrap this sun gun up.
I'd be interested to get his take on the Mac Jones thing.
He had the mock draft, his mock draft on Twitter. He had Mac Jones at 15.
Well, it's because Spags knows the fuck he's doing.
He knows his stuff. He does. He's connected. He works hard. He's connected. He knows.
He knocks this shit out of the park.
He really does. He knows his stuff. He's an up-and-comer. You know, we've got the three up-and-comers, in my opinion. Boston Media, Spagnoli, and Connor Ryan, and Evan Marinofsky. That's the future of Boston Media, right?
There's
Boston Sports Media.
Big shit coming from those guys.
From those guys, absolutely. I mean, I'd hire them for, you know, that should be the future of sports radio, those guys right there, Boston.
I agree.
You know, not Andy Gresh. All right, but that's enough. All right, so we'll see everybody again next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks a lot.